You're listening to the Rockingham Baptist Church podcast. We hope you enjoy our sermon of the week. For more information, please visit rockingham.org.au.
Welcome to those watching online, and a huge thank you to Steve and Sean for speaking over the last 3 weeks while I've been away. Do you have a little takeaway from the messages on Galatians? Do you have something that God impressed on your heart? I trust that you do. And I trust that the Holy Spirit's given us all a deeper understanding on this beautiful book, the Book of Grace. Yeah? As I've been thinking about this series and actually this whole morning, what a sweet presence of the Holy Spirit during the worship. Thank you, Mark and Jade, for that. But the Holy Spirit's obviously at work. Even Lisa's testimony about sharing what good things Jesus has done for us. That's all about what our series is about. And it's amazing how the Holy Spirit works in that way, isn't it? God is good. He's done great things in our lives. And we're going to be prompted to share that with others. Amen? Yeah, hope so. Alrighty, earlier this year we held two family forums, and the purpose of these was to hear from you as a church family, to inform our planning for next year. And as we've collated and considered all of your comments, there are a couple of threads that came through. One of them was that you would like more opportunities for deeper theological teaching, and the other was that we all have a heart for sharing the gospel, and we know that we're all called to go and make disciples, but the how, what, and where maybe we're not so confident about. So in conjunction with our new strategic plan that will come up next year in February as part of our Heart for the House, we'll be offering some new opportunities for deeper teaching in the coming months and also next year, and we'll give you more information about that. But today we're going to start a series, and we're calling it a discipleship culture. And we're going to explore a lifestyle of sharing the gospel, because actually that's what we're called to be and do. And during this series, we've got a booklet that Pastor Steve has kindly created for us. And I encourage you to take one of these. There's lots at the back there. As you go today, use it in your individual study or take it to your home groups. Home groups, you can use it for discussion. And I trust that by putting the messages and the booklets together, we will be able to just dovetail what we talk about, what we think about, what we speak about, and it'll be a more complete teaching series for you. If we run out, then don't panic. We'll get you more next week, or we can send you an electronic copy. Is that okay? All right. Well, as you can probably gather by the title and by what I've already said, discipleship really is to be our lifestyle or our culture. Why is it then that so many of us find it so difficult to do and live? We know that there are some who are specifically gifted in the areas of evangelism and discipleship, and they have a specific Holy Spirit gift, and they impact many people for the gospel. We immediately think of Billy Graham. However, the command Jesus gave us in Matthew was that we are all to go and make disciples, not just the one or the two. All of us have a part to play. And what better example to look at to help us to understand how to do that than the ways, the works, and the words of Jesus himself, the disciples' teacher who put the mission of God into the hands of ordinary, everyday people. Because remember, the disciples Jesus taught were fishermen, uneducated, ordinary people who changed the world and establish the church for the glory of God. The Bible tells us that. It says that they were ordinary, uneducated people. So I pray by the end of this series that you will be able to share some stories of how you have been able to make discipleship your lifestyle. You see, God's mission is simple, teachable, and repeatable. We all can do it. Because we all have stories in our life, like Lisa shared this morning, about what God has done for us and who God is to us. And so all we need to do is share that with someone else and let God do the work. 2 weeks ago, Steve reminded us that grace operates through love. He said it starts by loving who you are because of what Christ has done for us, because he loved us, and then loving others. And as I've said already, what a sweet reminder of how much God loves us during our worship this morning. Remember the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind, and then love your neighbour as yourself. Steve said, the moment we stop expressing love and move into unlove, we are being caught up in the law. And following on from this, Sean highlighted that we must be watchful for every opportunity. We watch with the Holy Spirit's empowering for where God is working and listen to what he's saying. He even puts opportunities in our path while we're in the shops and while we're on holidays. And here's a little story from ours. Last week, almost at the end of our holidays, we decided to book a day tour to see the bridge over the River Kwai and the museums and cemeteries that are all a part of telling this story. And it was a group tour that was available for up to 12 people to go to. So when we got picked up from our resort, the driver headed off to pick up the next person. And when we picked her up, we found out that it was only going to be the three of us for the tour. Fantastic. We all spoke English. We could all have a good old time together. And we weren't kind of pushing to get to where we needed to go. We headed off in this little bus on the three-hour drive to get to the tour. And we began all the normal small talk. You know what it is. Hi, where are you from? How long are you here for? What do you do? Etc., etc. So she gave all her info first. And then, of course, she asked, and what do you do? And so I was sitting next to her. So I said, well, I'm a minister of a church and my husband is a chaplain. Immediately, she said, oh my goodness, I can't believe it. You will never believe it. And I thought to myself, oh yes, we would. So she began to tell us about her youngest daughter's best friend, who had grown up with their family, was almost a daughter to them, who the night before the tour had been killed by a hit-and-run driver in New Zealand and died instantly. She was absolutely, as you can imagine, devastated, and so was her family. And right at that particular moment, last night, each family member was separated in various parts of the world. The daughter by herself in New Zealand, the father, this lady's husband, in Singapore working, the other sibling in another country, and this lady in Thailand. She had tried all night to change her flights, to work out what to do, to get home to be with her daughter, to comfort her, but it was just too hard and too expensive. And so she was going to cancel everything, and she rang her husband, and her husband said, no, stay there, go on the tour, and then we'll work out what to do. Who should she go on the tour with but a pastor and a chaplain? Sounds like the starting of a joke, doesn't it? But we won't go there. To cut a long story short, she poured out her heart to us, apologising every 5 minutes, but just letting us know how she was feeling and what she was struggling with. And we were able to encourage her. But the most important thing was that her daughter had grown up with a faith, but had been questioning it because of the difficult circumstances she had faced over the last year. And this lady with us on the tour had a faith, but hadn't been going to church for years. and had grown cold. All day she kept commenting that only Jesus could have orchestrated our meeting that day, especially for her, because he cares about her and her family. Now, we didn't really do much or say much, but we were there. We listened, we encouraged, but she knew that Jesus had worked that for her. You knew that Jesus had worked this person in the shopping centre for you. Doesn't God work so well? Now, it's kind of easy when these opportunities present themselves right in front of our faces. I mean, we were locked in a tour with our new friend for 13 hours, so we couldn't really escape from each other. But what about as we go about our everyday lives? How do we make Jesus known to others so that they can take that step closer to knowing him? I don't believe that the methods that we used back in the day are effective anymore. In fact, they probably contributed to the view many unchurched people have on today's church or God himself. So what can we do? When I look at the ways, works, and words of Jesus, I see a life of discipleship through relationship. And Sean encouraged us to be those who are looking out for those opportunities to love others and to share Jesus. Although Jesus was surrounded by many people who had heard of his miracles and teaching, he was constantly investing into his three closest disciples, Peter, James, and John, and then the wider 12. He is a God of relationship too. Relationship with his Father in heaven, and while he was on earth, relationship to those close to him. And now he wants relationship with us, his children. Very simply today, and with the few minutes I've got left, I want to highlight three simple points in the lifestyle of discipleship. And over the coming weeks, Milo and I will expand on this a little more. And those three points are up on the screen. Number one, pray and watch for people of peace. Number two, build relationships. Give an invitation of come and see, and we'll see where Jesus did that. And then read the Bible or bring them through steps towards salvation. So let's look at the first point, pray and watch for people of peace. As the journey of Jesus' life is portrayed in the Gospels, I believe not one of his encounters with people is just random. Not even the choosing of his closest 12. Jesus is constantly communing, talking to, praying to his Father, and is on mission, going about his Father's business, and that is what we are called to do as well. As Jesus did, so we, filled with the Holy Spirit, are living our everyday life, looking for where God is already working in people, and then joining him in that work. Just as Jesus was communing with the Father, so too we can do nothing without the grace and power of the Holy Spirit and without his love for our neighbour. So we are constantly asking him, what are you saying to me, Lord? Where are you working today? And what should I do about that? And then we are obedient to his voice. As we live our life and ask the Lord to guide our path, we look with spiritual eyes for people of peace. So who are people of peace? Our people of peace are people who like you and people who listen to you. Remember when Jesus sent out the 12 disciples on their first mission, if you like? He gave them all authority to heal sickness, disease, drive out demons in his name, cleanse lepers, etc., etc. But during the instructions, he says to them in Matthew 10, verse 13 onwards, if the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet. If they don't welcome you or listen to you, Shake the dust off your feet and go. Don't try and convince them or argue with them or bash them over their head. Just shake the dust off your feet and go. They are not people of peace. And the Lord will bring someone else along their path another time. You know, many people think that Jesus' first words of his public ministry were, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men," calling the disciples from their fishing nets to just drop everything and follow him. But they aren't actually his first words. Let's look at the first encounter with some disciples. In John 1, 35 to 42, we read, "The next day, John," this is John the Baptist, "was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, 'Look, the Lamb of God.' When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, 'What do you want?' They said, 'Rabbi,'" which means teacher, "'where are you staying?' 'Come,' he replied, 'and you will see.' So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him." It was about 4 p.m. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ." And he brought him with him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. So here we have these two disciples who were disciples of John the Baptist. They'd heard about Jesus from John, and they just heard about what happened when Jesus was baptized. They saw Jesus passing by, and John says, "There he is. There's the Lamb of God over there. That's the one I was telling you about." What would you and I have done at that point? Would we have sat there next to John and said, "Oh yeah, oh, is that him? Oh good." Or do you think we would have got up and kind of followed him and see where he was going or what he was doing? Well, the disciples of John followed Jesus. They are people of peace. They like Jesus. They want to listen to him, to find out more about him, maybe to see if what John the Baptist had told them was true. And Jesus says, "Come and see. Come and see where I'm staying." This leads to my second point. Number 2, build relationships. Come and see. Jesus and the disciples spent the day together. They get to know each other, probably had some food together. They spend the day with Jesus because it's all about relationship. Rick Warren says, "That's as simple as it gets. The disciples don't need to die for him yet. He's not even urging the two to trust him or believe in him yet. He's just asking them to take a step on their journey with him. Because Jesus always started where people were, not where he wanted them to be." I wonder if even now the Holy Spirit is putting someone on your heart, someone in your world that you know is maybe on a journey to discovering Jesus, that you could say, "Come and see." Someone you could invite out for a coffee or a meal or go to the gym or a walk on the foreshore. Someone who might be your person of peace. What about the story of Zacchaeus? This is another wonderful example of this discipleship lifestyle. And I'm sure you know the story well, but let's just quickly look at Luke 19 from verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, oh, like me, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. Zacchaeus is a person of peace. He is interested. He wants to see Jesus. And he wants to hear what he has to say. Let's go on. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. To me, that simple sentence or gesture of Jesus, "I must stay at your house today," says so much. In the original Greek, the word means to stay, to abide, or to remain as a guest in one's house, maybe and probably for a night. As the culture was back then, Zacchaeus and his whole household would have hosted Jesus generously with food, with all the traditions of the day. They would have washed his feet as he entered the house, got to know each other, eaten together, maybe read from the books of the law together. And of course, we know what happened as a result of their staying together. Jesus brought salvation to the whole household. But it started with relationship, which leads to my final point, and that is reading the Bible, or steps, making steps towards salvation. And we're going to talk a bit more about that in a couple of weeks' time. Some people experience a dramatic, instant conversion with blinding light, like Paul the Apostle. But for most of us, discipleship is a journey. It can take 30 minutes or it can take 30 years. And in this room today, I'm sure we have that span. We've all got a different story of faith, how we met God and how we're learning to grow with him. Many of you have seen this scale before that Steve has shown us, and that illustrates this point. All of us find ourselves at a different stage of faith. But no matter where we are on that journey, each one of us can walk beside someone else to encourage their faith to grow. We all have a story to tell. Even the newest believer can encourage someone to move from, say, a -3 to a -2. Just that little bit closer to Jesus. That one step closer to knowing the wonderful God of love. Every one of us can do that. It's not a sprint. It's not a marathon. It's a marathon that each one of us are called to be running, as the Bible tells us. Well, I'm over time this morning, so I just want to give us a little bit of housework. Mark and Jade, would you like to come? I want to challenge each of us to pray this week, to pray and ask the Holy Spirit, who is our person of peace, someone who likes you and someone who will listen to you. Ask the Holy Spirit to open our spiritual eyes as we go about our everyday life. And if you get a clear sense of who that person might be, take a step to build a relationship with that person. Be Jesus in their world this week. Love on them with Jesus' love. It may only be very small, but it will mean so much. It'll be life transforming. If you don't hear the Holy Spirit's leading, continue to wait on him. Let's pray together. Wonderful, gracious, loving Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the love that you have poured out upon us. And Lord, open our eyes to see people that we can share this love with this week. Help us, Lord, not to go about our everyday business with blinders on, just doing what we do, but help us to look out to see where you are working and partner with you in that work, I pray. In Jesus' name, Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Rockingham Baptist Church podcast. If you would like to learn more about our church family, get involved, or have someone pray for you, you can email us at office@rockingham.org.au or send us a message on Facebook.